GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's tax season, but the IRS is preparing to lay off thousands of probationary workers. Two sources tell the Associated Press that sweeping layoffs are ongoing at a number of government agencies. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
We know that in this first round of layoffs, they're targeting people who were hired by the federal government within the last 1 to 2 years. So this could potentially impact more than 200,000 people. Folks in key roles, for instance, in the Department of Health, Energy, and Homeland Security. And we're also told that they're looking at the military next.
Hamas has released three more hostages to Israel. They had been held by Hamas since October 7th. Secretary of State Marco Rubio arrives in Israel later. The Justice Department has filed to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams even after several prosecutors resigned in protest, saying the decision amounted to a quid pro quo. This is ABC News. 2 years ago in Kansas City, 16-year-old Ralph Jarl was shot trying to pick up his twin brothers. He rang the doorbell of a home, not knowing it was the wrong house on the wrong street. There was no answer, but gunshots erupted. Jarl survived. The homeowner who shot him, now 86-year-old Andrew Lester, pleaded guilty Friday to second-degree assault. Jarl's mother, Cleo Nagby, told ABC News her thoughts on the deal.
We are not, like, fully appeased with it, but is something that we have to take right now because we are sick of this dragging on.
World's top-ranked men's tennis player Jannik Sinner of Italy accepted a three-month suspension to settle a doping case. He had twice tested positive for a banned substance, but said he was inadvertently treated by his physical therapist. The Australian Open champion will be eligible to play at the year's next major, the French Open. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey, it's Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and who's ready to jump into an icy cold lake? Come on, it sounds like fun, right? A polar plunge is a Wisconsin rite of passage, and one's coming up sooner than you think. February 22nd at Prokopsky Boat Launch in De Pere, you can join a bunch of other brave and exciting souls who are ready to take the plunge, supporting more than 1,400 athletes of Special Olympics Wisconsin. Go ahead and register now. Go to WGBW.FM, click events to find out how.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The retirement savings picture across America is generally bleak. Not a lot of people have a big nest egg to rely on. Could more pensions be the answer? Mike Moen reports.
Pensions offered to public employees are seen as more stable because they're not shaken by movements in the financial markets. In recent polling from the National Institute on Retirement Security, 86% of Americans say all workers, including the private sector, should have a retirement plan that is more pension-driven. The group's Dan Doonan says retirement coverage is still too spotty for non-wealthy workers, leaving them on their own to put away savings.
In general, we're just asking way too much of individuals to get all this right. And saving during the middle years of your life to provide income throughout retirement, it really is a challenging endeavor.
He says the good news is that more states are setting up programs that enroll private sector workers in an IRA-style plan. The goal is to step in when a company can't or won't offer retirement perks. Experts say they're easy for states to operate and benefit small businesses because they don't have to contribute. But for the workers, the IRAs typically have lower contribution limits, meaning the retirement savings might not stretch as far. And just like state and local governments, Doonan says a more simplified network of retirement programs around the country can help companies in the private sector avoid staff turnover.
If they do move in that direction, I think what you'll see is more loyalty in return to the company. So there are some benefits for private employers especially employers who value retention.
This is Mike Moen. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers for today and tonight. A high today in the low 30s, low tonight in the mid-teens. An additional 2 to 4 inches of accumulation. Flurries and snow showers wrap up early Sunday, cloudy and breezy, high low 20s. Currently it's 26.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Kristen Ambos with Point Mortgage and Paul Vanden Plus with Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Plus, local author Stacy Ryan joins us again. Her book series is finally out.
Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is next to me. And that woman travels this state more than anybody I know. She puts her hands under rocks in the Mississippi River. I don't know what you're even looking for half the time, Danielle, but you are a risk taker.
An adrenaline rush. That's what I'm looking for.
You're an adrenaline junkie, aren't you?
I definitely am. My mom hates it so much.
Oh, you know what, though?
Hates it so much.
It makes for great stories and absolutely great radio, because when you go on your adventures, and we've been on adventures together.
We have.
We alligator hunted together.
That was the greatest time I've ever had.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. That was so fun. You know, less than 0.1% have ever alligator hunted, and you hunted with chefery of the show, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is also in the house. Nick Corgett is here from the Delafield American Legion, and Terry Frazier's here. Should I bust out right away and talk about why
they're... Are you going to bust out rapping?
We're going to leave that to Terry for later. Okay? Obviously, Terry knows how to rap. We heard that. So when you meet these two guys, not only are you going to say, Joel, look out, because they have voices for radio.
They do.
Faces to match. No, I'm playing. Oh. I'm kidding. Yeah. Come on. No, they don't. They're both fantastic guys. And I feel a little privileged because they are in charge of something that is known statewide. This is, what do we marry on this show more than anything else? Producer Jess, who runs the ship, what do we always say the show is, and what do we like to talk about on this show?
This is a cooking show,
Joel
Clayfish.
At the end of the day, Raised in Wisco, your outdoor show is about eating. Everything in life is. It's the only thing, the only tie that binds every human being, every Wisconsinite from every corner of the state and nation and around the world is food. And that's why we talk about it. And that's why I'm really excited. Chefery. Ellie Mae Lawton is in the house as well, and she's going to be coming up with a fantastic recipe for later. But this show has a very special theme to it because the guests we have are, I'm going to bust it out.
Do it.
They're from the Delafield American Legion Raccoon Feed.
Raccoon.
Did you say rat?
I did.
Trash pandas.
They're the same things, but just like... They go right in the trash. I'm terrified.
Man.
I unfortunately missed that event. I was fishing.
Were you in the Virgin Islands?
That was probably a good reason to miss it then. But you guys had the best stories. Joel and Ellie had the best stories about this feed.
It was fantastic.
And now I have to try it. Now it is the raccoon, the trash pandas.
We had Megan Matthews. Alex Azell was there with us. We had a member of the DNR who was there with us. What's the DNR guy's name? Spencer. He was there with us at the table. I ran into many old friends from my old hunting days and trapping days. This is a segment segment of Wisconsin society that is fascinating because really at its core, the Coon Feed takes you back to a nostalgic time in Wisconsin of trapping. You know, the Wisconsin state flag, 1848, we were established as a state. And on the state flag is a trapper. And I think there's a badger, but it kind of looks like a raccoon. But the raccoon trapping industry in Wisconsin was how people survived, a great number of them back in the day. Trapping, eating, tanning raccoon hides, turning it into clothing, into accessories. And we're going to get into that part of it as well. I'm so jacked to have them there. I think we should do our weekly Wiscos
right away.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm going to go first just because I'm afraid everybody else is going to steal mine.
I mean, ladies first. So, go.
Oh, ouch. Well, hey, you know what I'd like to point out? For the first time in ages, there's the same amount of men here to defend me.
And
I'm not going to get beat up by all the women beating me up.
That's what you think. That is what you think.
Look, I'm used to
it. They might be on our side, Joel.
They probably will. I'm very used to women being better at everything, and I'm okay with that. And so I'm used to it on a regular basis, but I feel like there's a little even ground here tonight. I might have
Look at that smile. Look at that. He's smiling.
I am smiling. But in all reality, I love getting beat up. It's just part of the fun of it, to be honest. My weekly Wisco was ice fishing with the group of us that we had on Sunday. It was a glorious day. We were out there. Danielle, you shot cool video of me catching a fish. I have to say.
What?
Danielle is not just a weekend warrior fisherman. This woman is like Alex the angler. She is pounding those holes until they are producing fish. So it was tough. It was a tough bite. It was a tough bite, but Danielle gave it so hard that she ended. How many fish did you end up with?
Nine or 10.
And I was fighting. I was a close second. I caught a giant crappie, a real beautiful crappie.
And
then
nice
we started catching big crappies and bluegills. But I fought. And I ended up catching 7. And that counts.
You got the first one, though.
But that does count. I had first, you had biggest and most, though. You had a bigger one. You had bigger fish.
That was a nice pike that you had, though.
Yeah, it was
like
all right. Yeah, it was probably two.
Out of your lucky tip-up, too. You called
it. Tip-up. It was my daughter Violet's tip-up. It's pink with a black flag, which takes me back to the days of Black Flag, the punk rock band from the 90s. Jess in the Fishbowl has given us the Motley Crue sign back there. Do you actually know who Black Flag is?
I do.
What?
Yeah.
Who is this Black Flag?
It's a punk rock band.
Oh, sweet.
We had Sheffrey Ellie Mae Lawton out there. We had Rob Brennecke out there. We had George Ermert out there. Now, George Ermert
is a hoot.
Is an absolute riot. That guy, he was
nonstop talking.
He does
a
government affairs with me out at the Capitol. And the guy is just an absolute riot. And he caught a couple fish. I was in close second. Ellie had, she put on a spread.
Honest to God, it was amazing.
If I continue to go ice fishing with Ellie like once a month, I will gain weight.
Same.
I will absolutely gain weight. It was unbelievable. And she's like, I didn't bring out much. I whipped it together. Ellie, how many fish did you catch?
I caught a tan. Danielle was just hard at work slaying the fish, and I was at one point laying on the ice.
You were
holding my rod, jigging, just watching
fishing.
Danielle reel the fish in. I was just catching a tan. You know what? I had a great time.
It was awesome. It definitely was a great time.
I think the funniest part about it is Ellie was talking to George quite a bit of the time and just sitting and listening
to
them.
No, it was the other way around. George was talking to Ellie.
That's true.
Nonstop.
Sure. But when they were talking together, just the wit, like one would try to outwit the other. And I just, oh my gosh,
And then Mike Kretschmer had a few words to throw in there as well, which it was a great time.
Wait, but I need to say a shout out to my new best friend, George, because I know he'll be listening.
Hi,
hey, George. We miss you.
You know, every week, this goes without fail, Jess, producer Jess, every mm-hmm. week George calls me after the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And he gives me a rundown as to whether he approved of the show, enjoyed the show, how much he liked
the
show.
Hello, George. I hope that you enjoy this show.
Yes. So George is our voice. You know, we are on the radio in Madison, and you can check out Raised in Wisco on every Civic Media station throughout Wisconsin, 11 o'clock on Saturdays. And then you can check out the podcast. Danielle, tell them where.
You can listen to the podcast on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple.
I have to say, so George and I do government affairs together in the Capitol. And George and I have been to Croatia together hunting in Zadar, Croatia, the island of Dugi Otok. Oh, and
fun.
George killed his first, big game animal out of the country with me. And the guy is an absolute riot. If you hang around him, good luck not laughing.
This is true.
For most of the time. He's fantastic. George, we love that you're a loyal listener also. So that was my weekly whisk. Man, I took some time talking about it, but it was so great. And then I literally rolled off the ice because I was so full. I think I ate two hot dogs and two brats and everything else that was there. It was fantastic.
That dip
I had a great time.
Delicious.
I had like six non-alcoholic Rattlers too, so I was very non-drunk when I left. But
and I tried petting the dog across the street. Not friendly.
No, I told you not to. I said, please don't pet the dog.
Life goal is to pet all the dogs. I was nice. You. It was like an Akita dog. It was big, fluffy. It looked old. And I'm like, I have to pet this dog. You just have to pet the dog. And don't do it. Are you going to do it? Can I pet that dog?
Danielle.
Oh, what?
Every time we are anywhere and you see a dog, your everything changes and you only see that dog and you just run towards it. You don't even care what's going on. There could be bombs and earthquakes going on and you see a dog, you're out of there.
Hey, I know what makes me happy.
You rolled out of the truck,
you
saw that dog, and you literally ran across the road into somebody's yard to pet the dog. And Joel's like, Danielle, don't. There Danielle goes to pet another dog.
I knocked on the door first to see if I could pet their dog. Her name was Luca. She's not friendly.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's 7:30 in the morning. We're going to head straight to the hospital after this because she's going up to a husky looking dog and she's got her arm outstretched. I'm like, Danielle,
just
stop.
Love me.
All I have to say is I think I'm happy that I'm not with you all the time because it would be I would be yelling, Danielle, stop a lot.
Josh
My nerves
does,
would
yes.
get the best of me.
No, he just goes, okay.
What was your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco was the company I work for, Rams Contracting. I'm a heavy equipment operator. They do like employee appreciation. So we all went to Milford Hills to have a pheasant hunt. So it was about 55 people. We all went there. We had every single field booked. And Cara.
Cara Michaud, Woodrow Gun Dogs.
Yep, Cara. She, of course, without a doubt, did a fantastic job. Her dogs were spot on, perfect. Everything worked out perfectly. And my friend that passed away that worked for us, I actually brought his daughter. So his daughter hunted and used his gun. So that was really nice.
What a blast. That is a fantastic time. Anybody who says there's not enough to do in the winter's just not trying because Wisconsin has so many things to do in the outdoors.
Get off and your booty. Go out there.
Get out there and make sure you make food a part of it because that is a huge part of the culture in Wisconsin as well. I can't wait to talk to Nick Corgett and Terry Frazier from the Delafield American Legion, the Coon Feed. Very exciting. We're going to actually talk to them about first-time raccoon eaters. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's at my side.
Hello.
Danielle.
Joel.
They have a word for you at the Delafield coon feed. You've never eaten raccoon, have you?
I have not. I have never eaten raccoon.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, my
well,
Lanta.
I'm going to tell you something.
Calm down, people.
It is one of the most amazing things to me that blows my mind is that the Delafield American Legion has been around for probably over 100 years or so.
And not yet.
No. Not even the American Legion's been around that long yet, because we have... Every year at the American Legion, one of the things that we talk about on this show is eating what you kill, eating what you harvest. If you're out there trapping, if you are foraging in the forest, make sure that you utilize what you are taking from nature. Well, nobody is a better example of that than with something that a lot of people think is absolutely skeechy, and that is
When I see them crawling out of the trash can, I'm not like, ooh, you look good with that trash on you, buddy.
No, and that's why, you know,
I'm like, oh, go away.
You know, they call them trash pandas, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So in Delafield, at the Delafield American Legion, this is nothing new. For 98 years, they have been hosting a raccoon feed where they eat and serve hundreds of people raccoon trash panda.
It has to be hundreds. How many raccoons do you guys normally go through each year?
Well, this last year, we just did 140 raccoons.
140?
Just 140.
Correct.
Terry Frazier is from the Delafield American Legion. He's a former military in the Army. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it very much. I appreciate my freedom, and I appreciate the freedom to say, yes, I am going to eat raccoon, or no, I'm not. But I have to tell you, and, you know, we were there with Alex Izzell, Megan Matthews. We had Spencer from the DNR with us, ran into a bunch of old friends. I'm blown away because Ellie Mae Lawton is a chef. She could not get enough of the raccoon.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you said you guys made 140, right? I think I ate 40 of them. They were so good.
So how do you prepare these? Like, is it all just...
I just want to ask who drove home with her after eating 140 coons.
Just 40. She only ate 40.
I felt great. I don't know what's wrong with everybody else. I was actually really sad I didn't take any home.
What?
You guys asked me, and like, I think, okay, it was Friday night, right?
I think it was a Friday.
Friday night, right? And by Sunday, I'm like, man, I really wish I had some raccoon.
Those are probably words that have never come out of your mouth before.
You got to keep in mind, next year, we do to-go stuff now, too.
Oh, man.
You have to-go basket. Nick Corgett, you are a member of the American Legion. You're part of the Sons of the American Legion. Your father served. And what I want to know is, where on earth did this... Do you guys even know? 98 years. That means... everybody who started at the first Coon Feed is no longer with us. That means the vast majority of people who started at the first Delafield American Legion Coon Feed are no longer with us. This has gone on for a century. How on earth did somebody say, I got a great idea, let's eat raccoons?
But that you can tell the Tom McNulty story way better than I can.
Ooh, Tom McNulty.
Terry Frazier is one of the organizers. He's the commander of the Delafield American Legion. Terry, I need to know, like, where did this idea come from? And number one, number two, how on earth did it catch on?
Very good question.
So basically, Tom McNulty, our post was around since 1921.
Okay.
We did not have the location we're at now. We've been at that location since 1952.
All right. Yeah, but that the location doesn't matter.
No.
This Coon Feed's been going on for 98 years. Years.
Tom McNulty decided to do something for the youth in the community, and basically was for the youth.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
So he started a Coon Feed. They used to trap their own animals and go out and do a meal and serve the community, raise a little bit of money, and give it to the kids. How it started.
Did they deliver them back in the day, do you know, or did they have put up a tent? I mean, we're talking, you know, 1910, right? And
no, you're going too far back.
I'm going too far. So we're in 2020. So, okay, 1930-ish,
so just a little after 1921.
Right? Holy cow, I'm really struggling with my math here. Help me out, people. For God's sake,
1927, I think.
I'm struggling.
It's better to just listen to you struggle.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So we're talking a century ago, very primitive. I mean, people on horseback coming to, you know, to the Coon Feed. Were they on horseback or did they have cars at that time? They had cars.
They probably just did both. They probably did both.
They were not on horses, Joel. All right. We need to take a quick math lesson and a history lesson. They were not rolling up to the Coon Feed on horses, Joel.
Maybe some of them were. Maybe it was park lot.
Maybe Model A.
Maybe Model A. Exactly. Jess is losing it in the fishbowl.
Oh, man.
Okay, why is it so inconceivable that in the 1920s, late 20s...
Are you crying?
They were riding horses.
Okay, what did they do to make it so good to continue on over and over and over? Because to me, it's like raccoon. There was plenty of other animals to harvest and eat back then. So why the raccoon?
Well, a lot of hunters back then were doing trapping. And I don't know why Tom McNulty started it. I don't know why he used coon. But it was just something that he did. And it was something to get his buddies together, his army buddies together, and to do something good for the community.
When did you start eating the raccoon? When did you go coon?
When did I go coon?
Not sure if you can.
I have been a member of the post for 28 years.
28 years.
Wow.
I probably had coon about 30 some odd years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you part of the people that trap it? Are you the trapper or who's
the
trapper?
No, I am not the trapper.
Who is the trapper?
The trapper is somebody that Nick likes to call his name. Oh. And this is Nick's favorite name.
Oh, Danielle.
I will give this over to Nick.
Well, Nick. Let me just give Nick an introduction. I mean, this is a man who really needs no introduction when he enters a room. I think he's actually 7'13" inches.
Yep.
And this guy commands a room. And the funniest thing about it is he's got a smile. That's right.
7'13"
would be 8'1".
We're going back to the math lesson.
Nick, I love this.
Nick has got a smile on his face that will cover the entire 12-foot wall. I'll tell you that. And when you walk into a room, this guy's, if he's greeting you and he was greeting guests and selling raffles and doing all the stuff at the Coon Feed,
yes,
he's just
everything.
A fantastic guy. I am very excited about hearing from him how people got interested in it, how it came to be, what happens if you've never tried it and you show up at this event, who shows up to this event, what does it taste like? We're going to get the expert, Chefry Ellie Mae Lawton, on that. This is Raised in Wisco. We're talking about the Delafield American Legion 98th Annual Raccoon Feed.
Yeah, Benny. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's tax season, but the IRS is preparing to lay off thousands of probationary workers. Two sources tell the Associated Press that sweeping layoffs are ongoing at a number of government agencies. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
We know that in this first round of layoffs, they're targeting people who were hired by the federal government within the last 1 to 2 years. So this could potentially impact more than 200,000 people. If folks in key roles, for instance, in the Department of Health, Energy, and Homeland Security. And we're also told that they're looking at the military next.
Hamas has released three more hostages to Israel. They had been held by Hamas since October 7th. Secretary of State Marco Rubio arrives in Israel later. The Justice Department has filed to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams even after several prosecutors resigned in protest, saying the decision amounted to a quid pro quo. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Brandon Woodruff back on the mound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At Brewers Spring Training in Arizona, pitcher Brandon Woodruff throwing 20 pitches for the first time to batters after having surgery on his shoulder back in October of 2023. How did it feel?
Felt great. When you can kind of break down, obviously I was nervous, jittery. It's the first time in a year and a half, but I felt good. I think it went a lot better than I expected to, which was I needed this. I needed to face hitters. I needed Bowers, and I needed William to step in the box. You know what I mean? Like, you got a all-star steps in the box, the first hitter you've seen in a year and a half. I mean, you can't help but get a little adrenaline going. So it was good for me. Got some good feedback, and now it's just recover. Go recover and get used to doing this again.
NBA All-Star Weekend, the Bucks' Marcus Johnson named a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame. The final vote to be announced in April. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers did not make the cut. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers for today and tonight. A high today in the low 30s, low tonight in the mid-teens. An additional 2 to 4 inches of accumulation. Flurries and snow showers wrap up early Sunday, cloudy and breezy, high low 20s.
It's 28 degrees right now.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are you exhausted, tired, fed up? We get it, but we want you to get involved. Luann Bird is going to join us to talk about ways to keep going. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I am Joel Clayfish. I'm so psyched to be with you. We love everybody listening to the show, coming up to us, telling us what they love about it, what they want to hear, why they enjoy the great state of Wisconsin.
We definitely do.
Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco. We've been together for much more than a decade already, hunting together, fishing together, doing the media together. Now we love this show. And we've been doing this for years already, which is amazing. Raised in Wisco has expanded to 21 stations statewide on the Civic Media Network. We're also exploring maybe creeping into a couple other stations.
That'll be exciting to talk about.
I'm very excited about that. So everything is fantastic here in the fishbowl at Raised in Wisco. And we're talking today. We've got Terry Frazier here and Nick Corgett here. Of course, Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is here. She's going to have our cooking segment coming up. We're talking about the Delafield American Legion Coon Feed. Before we go any further with this, Jess, I got to ask you, have you ever tried coon? I mean, I know you're a little bit new.
You asked me that a week ago.
Okay.
The answer still hasn't changed.
No.
although, you haven't gone to your backyard.
I was really, really hoping that we Nick and Terry were going to come in today with raccoon.
Next time we'll bring some.
Well, I think,
there's a next time? All right.
Yeah. Nice. You know what? They're definitely good enough guests to have them come back. I can't wait. I did tell them
that my favorite guests always bring food, so.
Perfect.
And you have to please her.
Yes, that's right. Look, if Jess ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know what I'm saying?
Happy Jess, happy life.
That's right.
Maybe we could find something on Uber Eats.
Find some raccoon.
I doubt you're going to find stewed raccoon. And you know what is so fun to me? Raccoons have a nickname. Do you know what it is, Danielle?
Trash panda.
Trash pandas.
Yep.
I love all the nicknames. Do you know they call pheasants? You know what they call pheasants?
Ditch chickens.
Ditch parrots or ditch chickens. I love that.
I never heard that.
What else we got?
Do you know what they call snakes?
Danger noodles.
Ellie knows.
What?
I've never heard danger noodle. I've heard forest noodle. I've never heard danger noodle. Danielle, hit the 7 second button, Jess. Danielle just broke the code.
Danger, danger.
Danger noodle. Anything
that
with the
really
word
good.
Anything with the word noodle after it makes me hungry as an Italian.
Danger noodle.
Danger noodles.
I'm just gonna be cackling about that for a week.
She's gonna. So Nick Corgett is here. We got a little off track with our weekly Wiscos, and I want to bring it back to that because then we're going to talk about people who go to the raccoon feed, how many first timers you get, what happens if you are a first timer, and then we're going to get with Chef Ellie because I want to hear what she thinks is done to the raccoon that made it so delicious that she ate about 6 pounds of it. I mean, there was a point at which they were wondering if she was going to come back again for more, I think, after she'd gone back 3 times. She really ate a lot of raccoon that night.
My uncle's one of the servers, and I think he was talking about her.
That was fantastic. A woman came in here and kept filling up on the itty bitty raccoon.
He was impressed, I'll tell you that.
Who put away 4 pounds of raccoon.
So what was all served at this feed? Just raccoon? What kind of sides? Any...
Well, of course, we have the trash panda, but then there's the we have turkey for people that don't want to explore into that sort of zone. We have
weirdos. All
typical sides, and the auxiliary and a bunch of the people from the community bring a lot of great desserts and everything like that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's a full setup, full meal.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the coleslaw was amazing. All of the sides were delicious. It comes with, you know, very traditional fish fry sides.
That's
kind of what it feels like to me.
Daniela ate all the sides too.
No doubt.
Yes, there it was. Ellie was part of the Clean Plate Club. That much was clear. Talk to me, Nick, about who goes to this thing. Who are the hundreds of people? When we got there, there was a 45-minute waiting list just to get a plate of raccoon.
Oh, wow.
So I got to tell you, every year it blows my mind. And like you said in the intro, I started doing this with my dad probably 10, 12 years ago. And even when he was doing it, goes back further, he was amazed. Each year, it's not the same people. And, you know, you get maybe 40, 50, 60% that are return customers, but the rest are what we call virgin cooners. And they,
that's
part of the fun. You know,
call them virgin cooners. and this means they've not tried raccoon before.
Yeah. The whole event's, it's such a good energy. Everybody has so much fun. So, if you happen to be a first timer, they come through the line at the very end.
They
ask everybody, you've been here before. And there's a bell you ring and you get a certificate that Terry and I've signed.
Aww.
It's rolled up like a diploma and it makes everybody so happy. You know, it brings a lot of
me happy and I wasn't even there.
Yeah. Well, next year when you come, you'll get one of these.
I definitely will have
my certificate in the truck right now.
Oh, yeah. You're waiting for the frame, right?
Yes, I am actually.
That is awesome.
I think it would look great in the studio.
Yes.
I think so too.
And you know what's funny is, you know, John Whitmore is a friend of mine. He's done trapping for that coon feed several years before, and I've actually gone along with him to do that, and I've watched him, you know, clean the raccoons and and so I actually cooked it one time on my own, and I have to say it's pretty darn good. I mean, I didn't do it the way that they made it at the raccoon feed. I did roast mine in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
But I just made it essentially the same way I make my Canada goose. You fill the top with water. I'm going to tell you this. The difference with raccoon is their fat, a lot of fat from animals renders down and adds flavor. It's a good flavor. Raccoon fat, you got to scoop it out as it's cooking, in my opinion. It's got kind of a bitter a bitter taste to it.
We have a very elaborate process. I mean, it's almost a whole week worth of things that we have to do to prepare this, including the brine, which is the end, and of course the cooking. But we get a bunch of people from the community and the Legion together, and it's a full day of it's just defatting, because you're right. You have to get as much of that off of the raccoon as you can.
Okay, so do you do that ahead of time, or do you ladle it out as it renders while you're cooking it too? Or?
No, not while it's cooking. It's ahead of time.
Okay.
Yep, before it goes in the brine.
All right, do either one of you, Terry or Nick, do you know what the recipe is? I'm not asking you to say it real quick. Do you know what the recipe is?
We both know, and it's the same recipe
Just hang on to that.
Please hold.
We're going to use the expertise of Chef Ellie Mae Lawton here. I want Ellie, from a trained chef's perspective, to describe how it tasted and see if she can figure out what was made, how it was prepared.
I'm excited for this. This is like a game show.
This is a lot of pressure.
This is a lot of pressure.
Okay, so I explained it on one of the other shows, the show right after. And to me, it tastes like corned beef almost. So I definitely got all the pickling spices. At least that's what I was tasting, and heavy on the peppercorns. I mean, it was delicious. So I don't know. Am I on the right track?
The only thing you got right is the peppercorn.
Oh, really? Wow. That's super embarrassing. Just kidding. I'm not embarrassed. No, seriously. To me, it tastes like corned beef when I make corned beef.
But yeah, you're right. Spot on about the flavor. But there's things that happen in the recipe that are just, you would never guess.
Oh, I'm going to need that recipe.
Sworn to secrecy.
No, I'm going to get it out of you guys.
So it is a secret recipe.
Yeah, I was starting to say before, it's the original recipe from the very first coon feed Tom McNulty did up until this very year.
And it's the same exact recipe. Well, it's a fantastic recipe, whatever it is. There's some kind of salt in it, and there's some kind of peppercorns in it for sure. I mean, you get a very peppery flavor. But I have to agree, it has a very corned beef taste to it. It tastes like a very fine corned beef. I mean, it would make a heck of a Reuben sandwich, or make a heck of a, anything that you make that's corned beef, you could trade out for this recipe.
Yeah, you're right on with the flavor. And I'm a very picky eater, and this, I mean, I even think it's great, so... It's something that everybody should try.
I definitely want you to try that. I'm going to miss it next year.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have the same time, the same month every single year?
Yeah, it's always the last Saturday of January.
Last Saturday of January.
So I'm going to tell a very cute story. I was sitting next to a veteran who was in his late 70s. I had a fantastic talk with him. He was eating the raccoon, and he said, "Oop, I got lucky. I got some shot in mine." He thought it was shot that he thought it was shot in his raccoon. Now, these raccoons are trapped, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So I wondered what he was talking about, and he took a peppercorn out of his mouth and put it on his plate. He thought the peppercorn was a shotgun shot. So for the rest of the meal, I leaned over to him. I said, "I got some shot in mine, too." And we both collected about 10 peppercorns on our plate.
That is fantastic.
So I can go back before King Arnie.
Who is King Arnie?
We'll explain who King Arnie is.
All right.
Most of our coon was shot.
Oh.
And that was one of the things that we used to do was pull the little bullets out of the meat.
That's a great story.
And whoever had the most bullets on the table was the winner.
I think that's a fantastic
winner raccoon dinner.
I have to tell you, I've gotten near chipping a tooth from time to time.
Absolutely.
On goose when I stew my goose or make it in the crock pot. When I was young, God, I can't remember that long ago. When my kids were young, if they found shot, they would put it aside, and that was like a treasure to them. And we would take that shot and we would put it in a little, tiny fingernail size cage and make a necklace out of it for them. So they thought it was lucky jewelry that they were getting when the shot came out. I want to ask you guys, so you make a fair amount of money doing this. I mean, it's a fundraiser. You guys literally sell raccoon clothing there, raccoon koozies, raccoon hats, are there stoles, that kind of thing. I mean, there's somebody there who is in the raccoon. What's that, Jess?
Do you make hats out of raccoons?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's raccoon hats and all sorts of stuff there. Yeah, do you want a raccoon hat?
Kind of.
Oh,
Jess.
It has begun.
Do you understand what it's like when you tell somebody?
Everybody is smiling right now.
Do you understand what it's like when you tell somebody like me you want something made out of a harvested animal or eat something from a harvested animal? You know that then mm-hmm. that becomes on my list mm-hmm. of something
like
I've got to deliver. Yes. Yeah, and the fantastic thing about it is they've got those to sell at the raccoon feed. People are all excited. Half of them are walking. We bought some raccoon tails for the table. They go around and sell those for, $15 or whatever. And you're eating this raccoon and you look around and you say, this cannot be real. All these people are sitting around eating raccoon. I don't think many people actually take the turkey. I don't know if I even saw one person with the turkey, Nick. Do people take turkey?
Well, the color, what's the coloring difference? Are they both like?
No, raccoon is very dark meat.
Dark meat, okay.
Very dark meat. Like it looks like Canada goose. Oh, stewed okay. Canada goose is what it looks like. But do a lot of people eat the turkey?
No. It's there as a backup just in case somebody comes with an experienced diner of ours and doesn't want to give it a try. We have it just as a more of a courtesy.
That's okay. Nice. It's good thinking.
Do you guys do pretty well at this? It's a fundraiser, and where does the money go?
Yeah, so it's one of the bigger Legion fundraisers for us. And the money we raise has been going back into expansion of the post. We also donate to local charities, the Badger Boys, the Scouts, and there's a couple other local charities that the Legion gives back to. So it's not just for us. We try to continue the tradition of giving back to the community.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Raised in Wisco is committed to making the 99th and the 100th annual Delafield American Legion Raccoon Feeds bigger than they've ever been. Get ready for it, because when it comes to things like the Boy Scouts and former military and supporting our soldiers who return and our Marines and other veterans who return from wars and helping them reassimilate. We know on this show how important that is and the importance of the work you do. We're going to keep you up to date on it. I can't wait. We got a recipe coming with Chef Ellie Mae Lawton on Raised in Wisco.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Tennessee whiskey.
Wisco, your one-stop shop to learn where, how, and why you can eat raccoon at the Delafield American Legion every year. Next year will be their 99th, and it benefits the veterans and their families and the folks who belong to the Delafield American Legion and the Boy Scouts and other charities around. We here on Raised in Wisco are committed to making sure that the 99th annual and the 100th annual raccoon feed at the Delafield American Legion are bigger and better than ever. And Danielle, Joel, I'm going to need a commitment from you and Jess in the fishbowl, producer Jess. Mm-hmm. I need I need a commitment from you guys that you'll be at the Delafield compete with us next year.
Hey, we'll be the ones on horses.
Give her own mic. It goes south in a hurry. Yep.
Just like that, Joel is out matching the place again.
So I didn't know that there were only cars in the late 20s. I'm sure people were still on horseback in some areas. Maybe.
Sure.
At rodeos.
No, they were at the Delafield Legion having raccoon.
The first motorcycle produced by Harley Davidson was 1903, so I bet there were still some people on horseback at that time.
20 years later?
Okay. I mean, yeah, Ellie has horses, but yeah, that's not enough the for primary all of us to ride of transportation. To the coon feed. She definitely did wear hats and shirts and everything. Yeah.
Oh, what a fantastic show. And just when you think you couldn't hear anything else about what we take from the outdoors and make a meal out of it, I'd have to go so far as to say, because of the people who are fed at this raccoon feed, it probably bumps raccoon up higher on the chain of one of the most eaten wild games in Wisconsin because of it. It's hundreds of people. So make sure that you do support them. And of course, you know how much we love the culinary areas of Wisconsin. And that's why Raised in Wisco's got their own official certified French chef, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, who's here to talk with us this week about this week's recipe. And one of the things that I love about it is Chef Lawton's got a real way of simplifying what may be considered difficult, but you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be 8 million steps and 8 million ingredients to get from the outdoors of Wisconsin to the dinner table. What do you got for us this week, Chef?
This week we are talking about wild boar barbecue pizza.
Ooh.
It's not scary at all. You can swap out the protein for raccoon or anything else that you desire.
I have a question before you get into that recipe. Yeah. One of the questions I have is, can you just about in any case swap out any protein in a recipe?
I mean, I'm sure you've heard me say that a million times. You absolutely can. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I want to make that, you know, clear to the audience. As long as you follow the instructions for the type of meat you're cooking to make sure it's cooked to the right temperature,
mm-hmm. right.
it does not matter what you're making, from chili to pizza to pasta to Asian dishes. If you swap out the protein, you can use pheasant, you can use wild goose, wild duck, store-purchased pork, meat. You can buy, you know, venison. You can switch out any protein to make it good in any meal.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's the fun of it. Yeah. So wild boar barbecue pizza. My inspiration was barbecue chicken pizza, right? We've all had it, right?
Danielle? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you can make your own pizza crust or you can buy one. No big deal. Use some Wisconsin mozzarella and cheddar. You can make your own barbecue sauce, or you can buy one and fancy it up with a little hot sauce, maybe some right wing sauce, Joel.
Perfect.
That's pretty good. And then I just prepared my wild boar in actually an oven bag, which is so cool. You know, like some people roast turkeys in oven bags. I roast like anything in an oven bag, and it is just delicious. It'll just shred itself. So good.
How long does it take? And then what kind of seasonings are you adding to it when you're making it for a
pizza? Depends on how big your piece of meat is. So this was probably about 3 pounds. It was a pretty good chunk. I put it in there with some beef broth, actually, some salt, some pepper, some pickling spices that apparently is not used on the raccoon. I put it in the oven low and slow, 350 for, I think it was in there maybe 4 or 5 hours. And pulled it out, opened the bag, and just shredded it with forks.
Oh my gosh, that sounds delicious. Making me so hungry.
Yeah, so anyways, pizza crust, then do your barbecue sauce. I use a lot of cheese because this is Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely.
So cheese, and then your barbecue shredded meat. You can toss it with barbecue sauce ahead of time if you want, or just leave it. And then top it with some jalapenos, banana peppers, red onions. Yeah.
How
and then
about a
some...
little crumbled blue cheese on there?
Oh, no.
Oh, Joel. Gosh.
Did I ruin it?
You did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Sorry.
I love blue cheese, but man, oh, man, way to derail this.
Well, see,
we're
see
doing good.
See what happens when they take over the mics. It's game over for the host.
Yeah. We can talk about my cheese recipe that I brought out on the ice because I know
this is just for George. Ermert,
this is
right?
just for George. So talking about cheese, it was with Velveeta, and we all love Velveeta. So that was a super easy recipe. It was just a pound of ground meat, a smaller block of Velveeta. I don't even know how much that weighs. Some salsa, green chilies. What else do we put in there?
Any cream cheese in there?
No. And sliced jalapenos.
Yeah.
Tomatoes. Yeah. That was it.
So
and just melted it. And it was
fantastic.
So good. We had ground venison in ours.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
And then serve that with tortilla chips or
so good.
Kind of chips you
so
want.
So easy. I mean, why not, right?
It was delicious.
It was great out on the ice.
Oh my gosh. Is that your weekly Wisco, Ellie, out on the ice this weekend?
Yeah, last 2 weekends out on the ice.
Ooh, so this weekend, today, actually Saturday, is Battle and Bagel.
Yes.
Yep.
So I hope Battle and Bagel, everyone's staying safe out there because it was getting kind of scary.
Make sure you stay safe because last year some folks really got into trouble out there with some of the ice heaves. We talk about food. We've talked about the raccoon feed. Danielle Fairman, my co-host here. Ellie Mae Lawton, the chef of Reeves in Wisco. Jess, the producer in the Fishbowl. We had Terry Frazier and Nick Corgett from the American Legion. Awesome to have you with us. Cannot wait till you're back on Raised in Wisco with us next week. Have a great week.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Governor Tony Evers is set to share his budget address to the state on Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m.,
you can count on the Civic Media team to have it covered for you here, live.
And when the polls close, you'll also hear your primary election results from the races important to you and your family.
Live coverage of the elections in your area and the budget address Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hamas militants releasing three more hostages, including an American, as part of a ceasefire agreement. As part of today's swap, Israel released more than 300 Palestinian prisoners. ABC's Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv.
Now the focus has turned to very quickly to the other hostages who are still being held captive. And that includes six who are still believed to be alive, and then eight who are believed to have passed away. But this first phase, a total of 33 hostages are set to be freed as part of the ceasefire agreement.
The Vatican says Pope Francis's condition seems to be improving. The 88-year-old pontiff admitted to a Rome hospital Friday, where he spent the night being treated for bronchitis. Elon Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency missed its initial deadline to provide updates on the savings that achieved by Valentine's Day. The organization now posting on its website the updates would be released sometime over the weekend. This is ABC News.